And here we are on YouTube. At least we hope we're on YouTube. Off the hook, overtime. Emmanuel over here. There's Kyle on the other side of the room.
I am on the other side.
And we have Rob T. Firefly.
I'm on this side.
And we have Gila.
I'm on this side.
We have Alex.
Over here.
And are we connected, Rob?
We are connected, and we're sounding good.
Are we sounding good? Because every time we do YouTube, our levels are low.
They're always different.
We find out about 10 minutes or 20 minutes into the show. We're trying, we're going to shout a little bit, but we're trying just to raise them a little bit and keep it that way.
This is the week we find the sweet spot.
So if you're a listener that feels it's not enough, you can call us and complain, because that's what it's all about. Good discussion over the last hour. I wanted to talk about another story we didn't get to, and that's the whole Lord of the Rings thing that's been going on. Oh, my God. So apparently a lot of people are having hissy fits over the fact that there's diversity in Lord of the Rings. To quote British actor Sir Lenny Henry, who is one of the stars of The Rings of Power. That's the show that's on Amazon, which is it continues the Lord of the Rings universe. They have no trouble believing in a dragon, but they do have trouble believing that a black person could be a member of a court, or that a black person could be a hobbit or an elf. So, yeah, people are upset. On Amazon, Amazon Prime is the network that is broadcasting this show. It's getting good reviews, except the haters out there are basically doing what's known as review bombing. Is anybody familiar with the term review bombing? Because I hadn't heard it before.
Anybody?
Oh, yes.
Tell us something about that.
Review bombing is when people who find themselves in a hissy fit about some detail about a piece of pop culture, like the fact that this new Lord of the Rings project has people of color in prominent roles, they will organize efforts to flood the listings on sites like IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes with negative reviews, and therefore give the thing a low rating on the algorithms that these systems use.
Okay, yeah, I see that. On IMDb, I see that a lot. Basically, programs that I think are good, or movies that I think are good, and they get lousy ratings because somebody thinks it's too woke, or other words like that. And by the same token, other things that are kind of dumb sometimes, they get bolstered. They get higher ratings because it's something different than what people think is the norm. And so it's just... Yeah, it's manipulation, another type of manipulation.
I think of, like, Yelp reviews, too, like, distinctly restaurants mm-hmm. getting attacked by unhappy customers. I guess also in the sort of cuisine reviewing world, there's an equivalent, perhaps, but bad reviews on those online sites for establishments, services, and stuff, mm-hmm. it could really take a toll on your business, because a lot of them rely on one or the other of these big search sites for those kinds of brick and mortar retail stores. Yeah, but it's the same principle.
It's another example of trying to equalize everybody. You know, you have food critics, people who are paid to go from one place to another and evaluate what is being served and the quality. They know something about this. They likely went to school for this. And their opinion is basically being equal to the opinion of, you know, any one of us who may have had a bad day or may not even gone to the place in the first place. And that's the thing with Yelp, is that you never know what the person actually did, if they're just there to give a bad review, so that we've heard this from people who own restaurants, that basically Yelp tries to intimidate them into buying services that I guess I don't know what the services would do. Do you remember this, Kyle? That they would lessen the effect of bad reviews or have some kind of
reputation.
Yeah.
a cleaner or something.
I think anyone who owns a restaurant, and feel free to go out there and talk to people who own restaurants, they will have Yelp stories. They'll have stories about how they're being pressured by Yelp to buy something.
They upsell them to get better, I guess, placement or some kind of premium listing alongside other things. And then, of course, there's getting reviews that are erroneous removed is probably itself a harrowing process.
I've seen reviews of restaurants on Yelp where, you know, somebody just got like a speeding ticket, or they have like some kind of health issue and they take it out on the restaurant. I was in a bad mood and they didn't make me feel any better, so I'm giving it a 1 out of 10 or whatever. And you see the same thing on IMDb and all kinds of other places. Where, okay, you know, you're reviewing a TV program. I don't understand the premise. If you don't understand the premise, why the hell are you reviewing the show? And why does your review count for anything? You know, or people basically say, I didn't laugh a single time. It's like, well, maybe this isn't the show for you. Why are you reviewing a show that obviously doesn't cater to your interests? The people who understand it, who appreciate it, they should be the ones to say, did they do a good job or not? And then you get the political things coming in. I saw there was an episode of I think Young Sheldon where he was discussing in church. He was debating the pastor in church, and somebody didn't like that because they're a creationist. So they gave it a 1 out of 10 because they don't believe in evolution. Why should that count? But it does. It does, and it actually is something that bothers the people behind these shows and movies. They see the numbers. They see some of these reviews. And a lot of them are moronic. If you read the comments, you know who the big enemy always is in any movie or TV show in the comments? The enemy are the writers, because the writers don't understand. The writers get it wrong. The writers are ruining the show. The writers are driving it into the ground. The writers created the damn thing. And they're the enemy. They're jealous of the writers because they didn't create a show. They probably haven't created anything. But if you look at the reviews, it's always the writers did this, the writers did that. And then there's the fake scenarios. Oh, the writers obviously are being paid to do this, or the actors, another big enemy. They've given up, and you can see it in their eyes. And they just come up with these fake scenarios, and they run with that, and they basically tell themselves that they could do a better job. And then they resent it when the plot twist that they thought of doesn't happen, because it probably was a stupid idea anyway. And they go in a different direction. And that is basically worthy of giving them the worst review possible. That's the system we have now. It ain't right. Sorry. I'll sit down now.
And it's not just movies and things. The idea of online reviews being used as a weapon is rampant in other scenes, like online artists who make their livings taking art commissions online, selling their artwork, and so on, constantly find themselves basically messaged by people who want free artwork or deep discounts or things like that. And when, like most reasonable business people, the artist declines, they say, well, then I'm going to give you a bad review on whatever site they're using to sell their services or things. And it's basically used as a threat. And, you know, that it's subverting the actual point of reviews, where, you know, you want to let people know what kind of experience you had with a business or with a person or with a show or whatever. But, you know, it's all worthless nowadays. And I think we need to go back to just word of mouth. You know, you want a new show to watch, ask your friends what they're watching, they like.
It's a strange pileup of altruism, too, from the conceiving of these platforms, these ways to review. Not necessarily thinking of them as something that would be completely subversive and meant to really do a lot more harm than spread the word about a particular piece of culture.
You know, Robert, you just said, I thought it was a great idea. Why don't we do just that? Why don't we go around the room, the virtual room, and tell each other what we think is good? You know, movies or TV shows or anything like that. And listeners as well, they can do the same thing. We can start with you. I'm not putting you on the spot. I just basically, it's a good idea.
Okay. Well, we've been going through a show that came out some time ago called Sense 8.
Okay, you can't do a we. You're individual. Gila's going to have to do two of her own.
Okay, well,
get ready, Gila.
This is something that I enjoyed long ago, and I've been rewatching now, and Gila's been rewatching it with me for the first time. Uh-huh. But I enjoyed it when it was new. I'm enjoying it now. I'm also watching a lot of old Doctor Who as well.
Doctor Who was the thing you're watching.
Yes, Doctor Who is a thing I'm watching. Doctor Who is also a thing that angered a certain segment of its audience when it cast a woman as the main character.
How
and
dare
a person of color as the main character.
A woman doctor, a person of color doctor. Oh, it doesn't make any sense. Wow. So that's okay. Doctor Who is one. Do you have any other TV show or movie you want to recommend?
Any other TV show or movie?
It's hard when you have to think of it.
Rowena Martin's Laughing. A surprising amount of it holds
from the
up.
1960s. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Where do you see something like that where it's not completely destroyed by graphics on the screen and bugs and commercials and things like that? Is there a place you can get episodes of that?
It's currently streaming on Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay.
And they have a good copy of it. It's good quality. Looks crisp and pristine and is not interrupted by bugs or things.
The captions do tend to be hilarious. About half the time, they make no sense at all. There was every week on the intro, Gary Owens would finish and saying, "And Morgul the friendly Drelb," and it differs from episode to episode how that gets captioned. It's amazing.
Uh huh. Okay. And this leads us to you, Gila. Tell us a couple of things that you think are good.
I am definitely enjoying RuPaul's Drag Race from around the world. Drag Race Down Under is a lot of fun. Canada's Drag Race is a lot of fun. Secret Celebrity Drag Race is terrible, but I love it. I'm getting my drag fix all over the place, it's fantastic.
We saw a drag race over the winter, over the weekend, didn't we, Kyle? Over in Portland? What race was that?
A drag race?
Yeah, it was a drag race. It was all the cars going around in circles.
Oh, yeah.
What was it called? You told me about it. It wasn't Indy 500. It wasn't NASCAR. It was something else. It was from.
Are you talking about illegal street racing?
No, it was on. It was on ESPN or something. Never mind.
IndyCar.
IndyCar is that? What? No, it was something else. Something
in
that's big
Portland.
In Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not big here.
They tour all over, but yeah, there was an IndyCar race in Portland.
Is that what it's called? IndyCar. I thought it was called something else.
Yeah. No, it's IndyCar.
Okay.
How do they keep the wigs and nails on at that speed?
I don't know.
That's an excellent question.
I don't think that's drag strip racing.
How do they keep
racing,
the
though?
Lashes on? It's.
She didn't say yeah. Drag strip racing. She said drag racing.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same kind of racing. That's
well, that's your opinion, isn't it?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I don't understand cars. I don't know anything about it.
Okay. Gila, you have one more.
I have one more. Okay. So this is situational and interesting, but we spent last weekend, the reason that we were not able to be at the 2600 meeting is because we were out of town with family at a bar mitzvah. And the bar mitzvah party was Sunday afternoon at a place called Topgolf, where I had never been. But I discovered that it is very soothing watching people just hit golf balls.
Well, you know,
not playing golf, just hitting golf balls.
Yeah, whacking golf balls is actually very therapeutic.
I did it at the very end. I'm really bad at it.
Uh-huh.
But it was a lot of fun. But also just watching people hitting golf balls is great. This is like, it's the batting cages for golf.
Except the ball's not coming at you.
You have to, hit a little sensor.
Uh-huh.
And then it gives you a ball. And then you hit the ball. And it tracks it somehow. And you get points.
And can you redeem those points?
Only for the satisfaction of a job well done.
Ugh, I hate that. Alex, your turn.
What am I doing here? I mean, I'm rereading The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire again.
No books. We're talking about media here. We're talking about electronic media, movies, and TV shows.
Two things. I started watching something on Amazon Prime called To the Stars. Have you heard of this? It's a new series.
Oh, is that when Ralph Cramden really threatened Alice?
That's right. Yeah.
Past the moon into the stars.
Into the stars. Yeah.
That's not funny.
It is about a husband and wife, older couple, though.
All right.
That in the sort of bottom basement area of their shed, this hidden area of their shed, is a portal that can take them to another world, like another planet, and they don't understand it. But they've been going on this trip to this other world and essentially just looking out the window for many, many years. And then they come back, and it's about unraveling the mystery of this portal to another world. And it's quite interesting. The characters, I feel like, are very well drawn. And I like series that have a lot of dialogue and well-drawn characters. I don't like everybody to be completely virtuous. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got, you know, their faults and motives. So that was pretty interesting. And then another one that I like that has really despicable characters in it as well is Industry on HBO, which is set in London. Yeah, it's called Industry. And it's a new series. It came out, I think, during the pandemic of 2020, the early days of the pandemic. It was the first series, so it's series two, season two on HBO. And it's about a group of young people, kind of recent college graduates in London that go and work for a bank called Pierpoint that's full of, you know, absolutely horrible, despicable people climbing up the greasy pole, trying to make money, stab each other in the back. Yeah, it's excellent. I think it's a pretty great series. And again, you know, the characters are completely flawed individuals and believable.
Cool. Okay, my turn. Well, I'm going to say this is probably something a lot of people know about already, but Schitt's Creek is probably one of the best shows I've ever seen. I say that because occasionally comes up late at night, you see an episode coming on, and they never get old. You can just sit through the episode 100 times. It's still funny every time. I know very few programs I can do that with. So, and I can't say Schitt's Creek on the radio. At least I don't think I can, because they don't know it's spelled Schitt. In fact, if you watch it on Colbert, every time he says it, when he has a star from the show on, they have to have a caption. Whenever he says Schitt's Creek, it has to spell it right, because it's CBS and that's how they are. But it's a great premise, kind of similar to Arrested Development's premise, but just done so much better, of a family that has lost everything. And in this particular case, they basically settle in a town that the dad, played by Eugene Levy, bought as a joke. And the question as to why do you all actually go and buy the town instead of just pretending you bought the town, because that was the joke. Buying the town was the joke. Just an incredible dialogue. It's just really, really funny. And of course, his son, Daniel Levy, is an incredible writer as well, and incredible actor. And you just see them all shine. There was not a single miscast character in that particular program. And I'm going to pick as my... Oh, go ahead, Gil, you have something?
Do you have the book?
The book, Schitt's Creek? No, I don't have a... I didn't know there was a book.
Keep talking.
Okay. All right.
I'll be right back.
I have a feeling she's going to get the book. There's another Canadian show, because yes, Schitt's Creek is Canadian. And I can prove it too, because occasionally you'll see in the town of Schitt's Creek on the small road, you'll see a speed limit sign that says 50, which is way too fast for a town. But in kilometers, that's about right. There's another show called Son of a Critch. Which airs on CBC. Yeah, I realize some of these programs you can't get here in America, which makes no sense at all. It's in English. It stars, who's the guy Clockwork Orange played? Alex, you know?
Malcolm McDowell?
Yeah, Malcolm McDowell. He plays a grandfather in this show. He's amazing. And the kid who plays the Critch kid, he is an incredible actor as well. I didn't realize this until after watching a bunch of episodes, is that this is an actual story written by somebody named Critch, who is a star on another Canadian show called 22 Minutes, which used to be called This Hour Has 22 Minutes, which is sort of a fake news program. And he's on that show. And I've known that face for years. I did not realize that he came from Newfoundland, and he has all these funny stories from his past of going to a Catholic school and dealing with all kinds of rituals of Newfoundland. Maybe that's why it's not airing in America, because they think it's too regional. It's not. It really is not. Seek it out. Look it up on YouTube. Son of a Critch. Great program. Recommend it. And you'll probably find a bunch of other things from Canada as well. You have a book, Gila. Wow. I can't read what it says.
It's called Best Wishes, Warmest Regards, The Story of Schitt's Creek.
Oh, wow.
It's by Dan and Eugene Levy. There is a little essay by each of the actors about their characters. There's maps. There's fan art. There's charts. There's stories. If you are a fan of the show, I cannot recommend the book enough.
Well, Kyle and I actually drove to the mm-hmm. town where they do the filming, or they did the filming, because the show did end a couple of years ago. And it's incredible. The four corners, every corner had something. Well, actually, three corners had something for the show. The fourth corner had an amazing cafe that I imagine everybody went to between scenes. It was really a nice trip to go there. Okay, Kyle, it's your turn now.
All right. I've had so much time. I have a lot of things that come to mind.
You were consulting books and making phone calls and all sorts of things.
Called a friend.
Uh-huh.
What exactly was the question? Is it a recent show or just something you
admire? Well, I just picked one that has been on the air in a couple of years.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And it can be a foreign show, too. So there you go.
Okay. Well, my two were The Expanse and Hackerville.
Okay. All right. All right.
And my backup is The Americans, and I have a couple more.
I have notes on The Expanse. The Expanse was a great show. I loved The Expanse, but then it turned into the Naomi show.
Yeah.
The last couple of seasons, Naomi gets locked in the bathroom for the entire season. It's like it was you know, really too much.
Similar notes about The Americans.
Yeah, and Americans kind of lost its way as well. And I don't want to be one of these people saying, "Well, the writers didn't know what they were doing." No, they knew what they were doing. I just didn't like what they did. I accepted it. I'm one of those people that accepts the last season of Game of Thrones. It's not my story, you know, but this is how you chose to tell it. And okay, you know, interesting. Maybe I would have gone a different way if I had the opportunity. But I'm going to try and appreciate this, just like I tried to appreciate, you know, the last episode of Lost, you know, or how The Sopranos ended. Every single time there's an ending to a show, people are angry about it. I remember the ending of St. Elsewhere in the 1980s. You know, people were upset that it was all the figment of an autistic kid's imagination. Okay, I've ruined the show. I'm sorry. Tell us something about the other show you picked.
Hackerville is set in... I think you're Romania.
Romania, yeah, we did see that.
And it is sort of about an investigative team tracking a hacker who turns out to be sort of your quintessential teenage hacker. And it was really, really interesting to see their take on how that all should, you know, be. And
that kid, by the way, you're looking it up now, but that kid who plays the Romanian hacker in Hackerville, and it is worth checking out. It's a funny show because at one point he gets angry and makes somebody's phone blow up, literally. But apart from that, great scenery and dialogue that's as good as any other hacker show, with the exception of Mr. Robot, obviously, which I probably should have mentioned. But that kid actually is an incredible singer, and I think that's where his true future lies. Do you have a name? Did you were able to find the kid's name? It would be the probably the first star or
Voicu Dumitras.
Dumitras. Let's make sure that's the right person.
Oh yeah, it is. It's Chippy.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, it's just cool to see a foreign language hacker-themed show. I don't know. I caught up with it late, and
that HBO Max, I think, had that.
So yeah,
you can find some gems. There are some really good shows that are on HBO that are made in other countries, like Latin America, for instance. And okay, worst case, you have subtitles. Big deal. There's one program, I forget the name of it, but it translates to Son of a Bitch. In Portuguese, I believe. It's about a football referee. It's about his life. And it's a great series, and I recommend that. But it's very, very hard to find. Yes, Gila?
Is it still on HBO?
I don't know if it is.
Because given the whole content purge that's been going on there in the last couple of weeks.
Well, tell us about that.
So as part of the switch between HBO Max, Discovery Plus, all that coming together, there has a lot of content has disappeared from HBO Max in the last couple weeks. Stuff that was made for HBO is no longer on that platform. HBO, which was also the sole streaming home of Sesame Street, dropped 250 episodes from before HBO started being the distributor. So classic Sesame Street, gone. And a bunch of stuff that was created for HBO is no longer active on the platform, which is a really good reminder to everyone that if you love something, you need your own physical copy. Do not rely on the streamers forever because no one knows what's going to happen.
That's right. They can change it.
If you want it, you need to own it.
They can change it. They can get rid of it. I got to say, stuff that was made for HBO not being on HBO, that bothers me. Sesame Street, never really thought of it as belonging in HBO to start with. If it's available someplace, I'm fine with that. I don't watch Sesame Street, though. But and I also don't understand why you can't watch a Sesame Street episode from the 1970s. What's changed? It's the numbers. It's the alphabet. It's all the same, pretty much.
I mean, I could answer that question.
Society has changed. I realize that, but
society has changed. Education has changed. The goals of the show have changed. Also, the 1970s was a blissfully pre-Elmo time, and they try to hide that now.
Well, I think that may be more of a reason to see what they did back then. I guess that's pretty. Oh, you know, one show we didn't mention, which we should mention, is Reservation Dogs, which is an incredible program about Native American community in Oklahoma. Kyle and I found out about the show while we were driving through Oklahoma and just discovered we were in a town where they did filming for this particular program, fell in love with it, seen all of season one, and they're in the midst of season two now. I think it's on Hulu. And this weekend, we went to a powwow, actually, out on Long Island, the Shinnecock Powwow, which is pretty incredible. In fact,
largest on the East Coast.
And I have the largest pack of kettle corn here that I got from there.
Wait a minute, what are you doing with that?
It's really, really good. It's addictive, in fact.
Watch where you're pointing that.
And we had fry bread, which I recommend to anybody who might be interested in such things. So you learn so much from all of these little dips into culture of one sort or another, whether it's Romanian hackers or Native American community or Canadian TV shows. You know, don't just follow the mainstream. And for God's sake, don't read the reviews and rely on that if they're reviews from people that really don't know what they're talking about.
And there's so much stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
You could be an ambassador for a show no one's watching. So.
That's true. That is true. Hey, I think our phone is ringing. You're a distant bell.
You were right. I was falling short.
Who's there? Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes.
Rebel.
I'd like to mention.
Rebel, yeah. Before you mention anything, can you tell us, are our levels to your satisfaction this week?
Is what to my satisfaction?
Our levels, our audio levels, are they to your satisfaction this week?
I could pretty loudly, but the point that the bad thing is that when you call Google Voice, it cuts you off, you know, just like actually earlier than the telephone company cuts you off.
Well, we can't control Google. We can't control Google at all, believe me, we've tried.
Right, you can't control Google.
Unfortunately, you can't tell them to make it go longer.
But that's not what you called to tell us, is it?
What is that?
What sport are you playing this week, Rebel?
Oh, no, not today.
This is a Flushing Main Street bound 7 Express train. The next stop is Waynesboro Plaza.
Well, Rebel, we know exactly where you are now. And our operatives will be there to meet you at the station. Wow. Did that say it was an express train?
Sounds like you're trying to make friends.
I mean, if they run until like 8:30 or something.
Really? Well, you have a minute and 10 seconds left then. But that's a cool train. What's cool about that train? The 7 line, for those who don't know, it's a line that goes out to Flushing. There's 3 tracks, and in the morning the express train heads to Manhattan, and in the evening the express train heads to Queens using that third track. It's incredible.
Right. Yeah, and that concept was developed in the 20s when they built the line.
Mm-hmm. And the train you're on has a diamond for the 7. The 7 is in a little purple diamond that indicates express. Right. If it's in a circle, that indicates local. See all the things you're learning?
Right. For those not in New York City that maybe want to come to New York City and visit.
Uh-huh. Yes. Anyway,
what else is
on your mind here?
Let's see. I was going to tell you something this week. I forgot. You get scam calls, like, you know, like they call you with the number 917, you know, and then like the odd number that you recognize. But it's a person that's like, you know, either trying to sell you something or trying to, you know, get information from you or scam you. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I know this is because when I try and call the number, either it doesn't work, it says this call cannot be completed, or you get somebody else that doesn't right. know what you're talking about. When,
yeah, what they're doing is they're spoofing caller ID. It's a pretty old trick, actually.
Right. Could you spoof ANI?
There are people who would be able to answer that question much better than I can. I believe it's possible. It's not as easy, but I believe it's been done.
I mean, it's business. I mean, somebody wants to like access to an office type business type of call of mine.
Well, just so people know the difference, caller ID is what gets sent from phone to phone, it's transmitted by the phone company on the second ring, different from the caller ID that shows up on your cell phone, which is sent in a different way and also can access your own directory so that you can say something like idiot when in place of someone's name, and it'll show up that way when the phone rings. That's on cell phones. But then there's ANI,
right,
which is what kicks in when you call toll-free numbers, 800-888-877, et cetera. And you can do *67 to block caller ID all you want when you call them, but your ANI, which is the, I believe, the build number, will show up on their consoles. Same thing if you call 911. You can't block caller ID to call 911. They're going to get your number through ANI, my understanding. And,
right, or the operator, the zero operator, or the AT&T operator.
Right. Now, that was one way, actually. I think you knew something about this. If you called the operator and got her to place a call for you, I think ANI was disabled, and your number would not show up in that.
That doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I didn't think it did.
No, because it's the third-generation top system. I think the zero operators are now directory assistants as well, because uh-huh. it's like they don't need operators that much anymore. They don't place collect call. Yeah, you know, and that they don't place collect.
I can't remember the last time I got a collect call. I can't remember anyone getting a collect call anytime recently.
Yeah, but how did people in prison make collect calls then?
I don't know if they do. Actually, Alex, remember you might know something about this. Do people make collect calls from prison, or is it just now based on some kind of account?
I haven't received any collect calls recently. I think it's mostly on an account. Yeah.
Because most everybody carries cell phones, and cell phones can't accept collect calls, which I still don't understand why that is. I also don't understand why there isn't a cell phone directory. You know, because these are all things that we got used to with landlines. Certainly, it's something that a lot of people would want, I would imagine. So.
Yeah, so with collect calls, now there's a 1-800, we play with this with on your show, 1-800-COLLECT, and then we're able to make collect calls to a cell phone, and then they just keep calling you wanting the money, and we thought that it would be billed to the cell phone, but that's not the case. They just, you know, call you and say, hey, you placed a collect call. Do you want to pay with the credit card?
Yeah, it's not really a collect call, but it's just billing to a third party, I suppose.
Well, billing. Well, it's kind of billing to you, but it's not billing to your cell phone. I tried this, you know. Now we can now make collect calls to cell phones, but when it...
Yeah, you can just call somebody and say you want money from them. That's not really the same thing as a collect call. And red boxes don't work anymore.
Right, red boxes don't work. Well, because there's no more pay phones.
Do you want some of this kettle corn, Kyle?
Yeah, well, you pass that.
There you go.
There's no more pay phones. I mean,
yeah. That's why the red boxes don't work, because there's no payphones. But we're seeing, did we ever think, like back in the day, that payphones would disappear, that red boxes would stop working?
I remember back in the 80s, I always used to think to myself, what are the payphones in the future going to be like?
They won't exist. That's what they'll be like. Well, this is good stuff. Right. They won't exist, and there won't be red boxes, and there won't be collect calls. And people won't make eye contact. They'll just look at their tablets and phones.
I was going to ask Alex if he saw any payphones on his trip.
I mean, and people will be able to see each other because they'll do WhatsApp or things like that.
What you should have done is ask Alex if he saw any payphones on his trip rather than say you were going to ask him.
Hey, Alex,
then Rebel wouldn't step on you.
I'm sorry, Rebel. Hold on. Alex, I was going to ask you, did you find any payphones on your trip?
You know, I didn't see one.
So that's substantiate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why does Alex sound like he's in a bathroom? Are you in a bathroom, Alex?
Are you in a bathroom, Alex?
No, I'm playing basketball. Why? What are you doing?
He is playing basketball. I can attest to that. He's so good that it doesn't even hit the rim. It just swishes through.
61st Street. Transfer is available to the 7 local train. Transfer to the LaGuardia Link Q70 Select Bus Service to LaGuardia Airport. Transfer to the Q53 Select Bus Service. Connection is available to the Long Island Railroad.
Rebel, why is it she sounds so good, like she's in the phone? Are you holding the phone right up to the speaker?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm in the men's room in LaGuardia, so you're pretty close.
You know, the men's room in LaGuardia is a lot better now, nicer now than it was before, but after they rebuilt that airport.
Didn't expect to know about that, did you, Alex?
Yeah. The new terminal is you know, it's much nicer. I agree with that.
Okay. How would you describe kettle corn to people who have never had kettle corn? It's like popcorn, but it's different.
Kettle corn? Oh, I love kettle corn.
You know about kettle corn? We can talk about kettle corn now.
I know kettle corn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, kettle corn is good, but it ruins your teeth. You got to brush your teeth right after you eat it.
Don't get me started about dentists, man.
it's kind of crunchy and a little bit sweet.
Comes in a big tubular bag. At the powwow, everybody had these things, so we just brought one back, and it's really incredible.
Yeah, we adopted a bag of kettle corn.
And you can have different flavors, like chocolate and cinnamon.
No, that's disgusting. No, this is just regular flavor.
It's a little sweet, though.
Yeah, but we can't have too much of it.
Let's see. What else? Let's see. Computer terminals, monochrome display, and the operator's the console used to be monochrome display and grayscale display.
Wait, what?
The computer terminals, like the phone company, the operator.
Yes, they've changed too.
Grayscale display. What is it scale? Just like a
printers. Printers have changed. Dot matrix printers of the past, and. Do all sorts of things.
Sounds like we're talking about stuff that we'd find trashing, like, over the last 20 years. This is basically the show about e-waste.
We ought to go out trashing again. We haven't done that in a while. Guys, are you up for a trashing round?
There should be a
trashing.
No, we want to go trashing
because everybody shreds their documents.
Let's go trashing in Queens. I think we can all get to Queens pretty easily, right?
It's National Trashing Day.
I mean, we certainly can.
Well, you're in Queens, yes. Alex, you're in Manhattan. We're close to Queens, so we can just...
Well, I'm in Queens.
You're in Queens, so it seems logical. What do you say, 2 a.m.? That's a good time when the garbage truck isn't there yet and most people have gone home. Sure, you get coffee grounds and disgusting things, but you also get the occasional printout of something useful.
Yeah, but they shred things now.
Yeah, but you can put them back together again.
Actually, printing emails...
Not if they cross-cut it.
Don't you have any skills? Come on.
Back in.
Yeah.
To style.
All right, well...
Let's see, what else?
Yeah, what else? move on. We have other calls we have to get to.
We have to have other calls to get to?
Yes,
why
other calls.
Have a conference call? Why don't we just, like, conference everybody in?
Yeah, so we can have more people talking on top of each other. Yeah, that's what we want. We want everybody to be...
But technology, you've noticed that broke this week, or that you broke, please.
Did I break technology?
Elaborate.
Who broke technology?
Well, anybody.
I didn't break it. You're not accusing me of breaking something, are you?
No, I was just trying to elaborate on the things we're noticing that we broke or that broke themselves and that we noticed that they broke.
We've got a loaner car that we're using and we keep noticing all these technological issues with it that are really annoying. Like, for instance, I tried to turn on the light above my head and I ended up initiating an SOS call because it's in the same place that the light switch is in and I was driving. I didn't have time to look up to the ceiling to see what it said on it.
But it actually helped us find out that actually isn't connected and doesn't work.
Yeah, that's great. So I lose either way. I can't get help, and don't get a light turned on. But today...
I mean, what were you in, a Tesla?
I'm not going to say what kind of car it was, but today we actually inadvertently left the car running when we left.
One of these key fobs,
yeah. But the thing is, the engine is so quiet, we pressed the button... because you don't start it with a key, you press a button now, and we thought it was off. We walked away, and it just kept running. We came back, we realized, why is the radio still playing? And that's when we realized for the first time that the car was running. And it would have kept running for hours if we didn't come back. So that's not good. That's not what you want.
The reminder about looking in the back seat.
Somebody might have tried to steal that.
About shutting the engine off.
I'm saying that again.
Rebel, yeah, someone could have. They may have been able to steal it, but they didn't.
I don't know if the door was locked. I think the door was locked because we hit the lock thing on the fob.
Yeah, I took it with me.
But the thing is, with the fob, and a fob, for those who don't know, is imagine a car key without the key. It's just a little unit. And it just needs to be in proximity of the car for you to be able to start the car. So you start the car, then you get up and walk outside. The car keeps running. It flashes a little warning saying, you know, key fob not around or out of range, but the car keeps running. So your passenger can easily just hop into the driver's seat and drive away. As long as they don't turn the car off, you're kind of powerless as far as... I guess you could do the same thing with a key running, but it just seems a little different here.
And you got
yeah, I mean, I'd rather the key. The key fobs are annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to push buttons to this or that. I mean, you know, well, I mean, some of this technology is okay. You know, it makes it things more efficient and streamlined, but some of it's just too annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
What else? Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
TV is annoying because now it's digital and...
No. Oh yeah, I miss analog TV where you could DX and get distant stations. Rebel, you seem like the kind of person who might have tuned into distant stations on those hot summer days where they come in from far away. Back in
oh, you mean on the radio?
I mean on VHF TV, where sometimes you get a channel 3 from far away. I got KYW when I was a kid. That was amazing. It was from Philadelphia, and sometimes I got Boston. And then I get weird UHF channels sometimes as well. You can't do that anymore. You can't explore and
really?
Find.
So that's why.
Weird
that's
things.
Why 90 miles away. That's why 90 miles away.
What's 90 miles away?
New York, upstate. They were able to get WABC New York City in.
Well, no, hold on. If you're talking about WABC AM, that's because that's a clear channel.
No, it was WABC New York City Channel 7.
Channel 7. Okay. Well.
You
could get that, I suppose, from a distance.
All right. The radio, you know, AM radio, News Radio 88. You can get if they have Skip, you can get it in Virginia.
Well, it's not called Skip on AM. It's basically, I mean, it is Skip in a way. It's bouncing off the ionosphere at night. And you can get that all throughout the eastern coast pretty easily.
That's fun.
It's what's known as a clear channel station, not the company, but the actual kind of AM station it is. They don't have to reduce their power at sunset, which is when AM travels a lot further, just kind of like shortwave.
So what are they? How does the radio station get it from the radio station to the antenna? They don't use ISDN anymore.
Well, they can use a T1. They can use, maybe not ISDN, but they can use anything.
Depends on what kind
like
of.
Fiber.
They can use a microwave relay.
Yeah, especially the transmitters.
A microwave relay. Does WBAI do that?
I am not at liberty to reveal that information, but we are able to get it to the transmitter.
I think it's a closed line.
A closed line or a closed line?
A closed line.
All right. Well, I can't reveal that either. Rebel, we're going to move on. Thank you for calling. All right. Bye. Always fun to hear from him. And he's always in a different place. You notice that? Never in the same place.
He keeps moving.
Always said that about him.
Uh-huh.
All right. And always first caller.
Yeah, and we didn't even give out the phone number yet. That's what's so annoying. 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK is our phone number. My goodness. Nice trip down memory lane, though, talking about everything from TV sets to TV programs to radio and we were talking about something else too, telephones and computers and payphones and all sorts of things that don't exist anymore and
the way things did work and the way they do work, mm-hmm. continuing on and there's lots of angles to that.
Mm-hmm.
What direction is it all going? What's the point? You know, are
what
we really
point?
Communicating better? Who are we talking to? Are we just talking to corporations that want us to pay our bills? You know, is that what wireless is all about?
Well, I would like to know, and maybe someone can help me with this. I used to be able to communicate with a lot more people because I had this. I still do. I have this app known as Trillion, or a program that I run on one of my machines. And it would connect to Facebook Messenger. It would connect to Google, whatever they call themselves. And I could talk to all these people. And those two entities just stopped connecting. And so I can't really talk to anybody in that method like Instant Messenger used to be. I would like to be able to do that. I would like to still be able to connect to these people without actually having to be on Facebook, you know, looking at screens there. It's a big waste of time, in my opinion. But when I'm able to talk to people just one-on-one, that was actually worthwhile. It was a good thing when I was able to interface with Trillian. And it just doesn't work anymore for some reason. So there must be something that can tie them all together like AIM used to do. That was a good thing. I don't know why they got rid of that.
Yeah, this has been a long time coming, and it's been haphazard because there are so many different communications protocols, but mm-hmm. this falls under unified communications and that whole sphere of jargon. And it's true that actually multiplexing different types of communication networks and making them all interoperate and play nice is... It's been a tall order, and programs like that are great. I think of Pigeon. That's one I've used.
Pigeon was another one
used for a while, and they're still in development. A lot of them are still around, but it's sparsely used, and it's very much it becomes like about what you prefer for your OS or what you're most comfortable with, or maybe used with like a legacy platform or protocol like OSCAR and
ICQ.
AOL.
ICQ, remember ICQ?
ICQ was a thing for a while,
and you know you would have. Today, you would have to be on all those platforms individually in order to be able to communicate with people. I want something that ties them together, so you're only in one place and can talk, kind of like what email is. And people reject that, too, for some reason. I don't get it. Do we have a call?
Yes.
Okay, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Yes, this is Brad from Brentwood. I used to call in as an elections inspector for Suffolk County, Long Island, New York.
I remember
but
you.
I'm not with Good. I'm not with the BOE anymore. But moving on, today was my first day at the post in the post COVID program, and I waited forever to get in.
What's the post COVID program? What is that?
It's at Stony Brook Hospital or their offices
for like treatment.
Treatment for long COVID, basically.
Oh, okay,
okay.
Yeah. So last year, not this past July that just passed. The July before, I was, on exit 58 at a gambling house, and I had tachycardia, 177 beats per minute, and I didn't go to the hospital, which is foolish.
Yikes.
A few days later, now, I did not have symptoms, but then a few days later, I mean flu symptoms is what, I'll stay clear. But then I had flu symptoms for 3 days, then I had tachycardia again, and I was home, or I was... actually out doing laundry because our machine broke. So I just put the laundry in, so I had to wash it, dry it, fold it, come home and say, babe, I got to go. So I drove out to Stony Brook from Brentwood to the emergency room, and they gave me two IVs, and one's a regular one. The other one was to give me adenosine that's in ATP because it stops and resets your heart.
Yikes.
So then all of a sudden, my heart rate was 72 to 74 beats per minute, where it should be.
That's
and everything
good.
Was fine. But like, but we got to give you a COVID test. So I wanted to raise what Gary Null has taught us, that Kerry Mullis discovered that test and won a Nobel Prize for it. But he passed. But he said, don't use this for COVID or AIDS. But you can use it for those crime shows all day or crime cases. Long story short, they said, oh, you tested positive, and I didn't argue with them. Not because of my heart. I was fine. And then they make you stay overnight because they're not going to cardio convert your heart and let you just drive home or walk out.
Okay.
So they stayed overnight, but they were also waiting for the results of the COVID test. But what I don't understand is they didn't say, we're going to send you down to such and such wing because you got COVID or oh, you have to get that vaccine, which I'm not doing. And anyway, moving on. So then I talked to my healthcare providers, plural, my primary care physician, pulmonology, others, cardiology. They said, you should go to the post-COVID program because I had long COVID, and I had it bad. I coughed for 3 hours straight, severe coughing, not able to capture, arrest it, stop it, control it, and then sometimes 6 hours straight. That's not good for a heart patient, and I'm in pretty darn good shape. That's not good for anybody. And, you know, then you end up coughing up a little blood and you're exhausted. So I went through all that and I'm not coughing anymore, but it's called long COVID. You mentioned it in the beginning of the show. So I wanted to call in because I was scheduled for last week. Now, after waiting for the longest time, I also called to get into the post-COVID program. They said, we're not taking any new patients. I'm like, oh, look at the entire world, how it's been completely displaced from COVID. But they're not taking a patient. Okay.
Well, that place isn't. There are other places. That just because that place isn't taking new patients doesn't mean you can't get in somewhere.
True. True. But all my practitioners are within the same net, if you will. You know, they all have each other's work on their screens. And if I go to, let's say, Southside Hospital on the South Shore in Long Island and Bayshore, they don't have my information. It happened to me. And that's okay. You know, we worked out. Okay, I don't want to take up the whole show. Just moving on. I will insert, I loved your show about the Gyrodyne. I heard that.
Oh, on the other station, yes. We did a special on the attempts to destroy one of the last open spaces in Suffolk County.
We were lucky. We were luckier than I'd be able to get to tonight, but I used to stay on Lotawana Lane, and you may know where that is, the two white pillars.
Yeah, I've passed that. I know what you're talking about. It's on 25A, right?
Yes.
That's an interesting-looking road. I want to go down it one day.
Well, there's an octagonal house there. I believe it's octagonal. My cousin used to own, but that's a little awkward. But there's another house that other friends of ours owned and would loan to us, just let us use, with a heated pool and things, and it was just nice. So anyway.
You have good friends.
Yeah, special people. Roy Adler, God rest his soul. Roy and Anita Adler. But okay, I'm moving on. Going back to post-COVID, I just started today. So after all that, they said, oh, we're not taking any patients. Call infectious diseases. And I'm like kind of chuckling. So I called them and they laughed too. I said, I know what you're laughing. This isn't where I belong. Okay, so I finally talked to my pulmonology physician's assistant, Jackie Sklar, and she said...
Yeah, let's not give out their full names. That's probably not necessary.
Okay. I maybe shouldn't have. And I have respect for her. She said, I'll get you in post-COVID. So anyway, I was supposed to get in last week, and they called 7:30 morning and said, we have to cancel. The doctor's sick. And I said, oh, but, you know, whatever it takes, that's okay. So I started today, finally. And I went, and a doctor went over my, she had my information in the computer, but I also filled out those sheets that you fill out. And we went over it, and she took time, and we discussed the issues, and she heard me out on some things related. So that's a start. I'm not so severe like I used to be.
There's nothing better than having a good conversation with somebody who cares about your health, that knows what they're talking about.
I told her that, and I thanked her for it at the time, you know. But I recommend, this is the first day. I feel like a new kid in the first day of school. I'm kidding. But maybe we should continue to keep an eye on it. I'm also going to be looking at why I was told we're not taking any new patients, because this doctor today said to me, oh, no, they never told you that. And now I never met her before, and she kind of is calling me a liar. And I'm like, I don't care. I move forward. And it's like, oh, look, I called, and I was told that. I'm not talking about some other, you know, some hearsay. I'm telling you that's what I was told. She said, well, I only have.
But they're taking you now. They're taking you now, right?
They took me today. I'm all in. Right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, that's what counts. That's what matters.
I wanted to feedback to you because you mentioned it early in the show, and I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It also interesting, and I. But you know what else I said to her? Because you're not so sure about what to do about COVID, in case you haven't noticed. And there's been every lie, too. And then there was this guy. I won't use the doctor phrase, but there's this guy Fauci, which I just don't have credibility for. So anyway, I said, let me ask you a question. How do you actually know that I have COVID or have long COVID? I said, I know I have symptoms. You know, I had severe symptoms since the emergency room. But, and maybe the cart before the horse, maybe the COVID if I have caused the tachycardia, because they say that can quite often be the case. So I don't know. And you know, I'm open to working with them, but I'm going to have to hold their feet to the fire a little about, you know, not that you told me, they never said that to me. They said it to me.
Okay, but that's not what's important now. What's important is that you get the health care you need and that you listen to what the people who know what they're talking about are saying, and that you remain your own advocate, because there's no better advocate than yourself for your health. So if you're feeling something and no one's acknowledging it, then you got to keep at it. You know, don't believe anybody blindly, but don't dismiss anybody blindly either.
I appreciate what you're saying, Emmanuel. I tend to agree with you, but what, you know, there's always the next patient too. It matters. Mm-hmm. It matters.
Yeah.
So, you know, it needs to be looked at, and I'm not trying to get somebody in trouble or fired, but you know, I need to look at it. So I wanted to call and share that with you because it's in the moment, because you said it in the beginning of the show. So here's my feedback, and I recommend maybe I keep you guys updated in what we find.
Okay. It's good to hear that you're hanging in there and staying healthy and taking care of yourself. That's what matters.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right. Stay in touch. We will talk to you in a future date.
I've learned so much from Gary Nowitzis and so much from Dr. Majid Ali. I know you know who I mean, because he has nailed all of oxygen.
I'll let you go. Go ahead.
And you guys really, you do great stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I can't control who people learn from. I mean, all I can do is ask people to listen with an open mind and don't follow blindly anybody. But you gotta follow the science. You gotta listen to what the people, no matter how much you resent them, the people who actually devote their lives to these sorts of things, they know a thing or two. And if you really believe there's, you know, all kinds of conspiracies out there,
beware skepticism becoming dogma.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Rob, any comments from the other long coverter around?
Well, I was looking at a story that went by today where the governor, Governor Hochul, and the MTA cheerily announced that masking is now optional on subways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been going down quite a bit recently, I've noticed.
Yeah, their enforcement of the mask mandate that did exist was for crap, so I guess they're not even trying anymore. But yeah, my heart sank a little bit at that.
Let's remember, it did have an effect. The numbers have gone down. Things are improving. Schools are opening in a much more, you know, real way than in the past. It's progress, but people are still getting sick. We have to remember that. But we are in a better place, and we can also celebrate that. But
the beaches are open, and everyone's having a wonderful time. Amity, as you know, means friendship.
Yeah, just remember what we went through. We can't forget that. We can't forget more than a million people losing their lives in this country alone, and all the people around here that have been severely affected one way or another. And just the utter nonsense that we've been exposed to from so many different corners. Don't get me started. Do we have a call?
We do.
All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hello, guys. It's Phil from Missouri, but I'm back in Virginia.
Wait, hold on. Phil from Missouri, but you're back in Virginia? I didn't know you ever were in Virginia.
Well, I was from Virginia, but I moved out to Missouri, but my brother died, and one of my dogs died, and they decided to move me back out here.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear about all that.
Here like a month or so.
Well, huh? I'm sorry to hear about your losses, but is Virginia a better place or a worse place?
No, not much. Not much. I was doing my laundry downtown, and a guy on a lawnmower was in the middle of Main Street.
Yeah. So, that could be Missouri, too, though. That could be lots of places.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about TV shows earlier?
Yeah, we were.
You ever watch Letterkenny? Letterkenny, I mean?
We watched the first pilot, one of the pilots a while ago.
A lot of people have recommended that. And just, you know, to me, I didn't really give it a chance. I watched the first episode. It just seemed like a lot of quips going back and forth really quickly. Very fast-talking people. And I guess maybe I just wasn't into it on that day. If you say we should give it another chance, maybe we will.
Well, I hear good things about it.
Oh, you haven't seen it yourself?
Like bits and pieces of it. I haven't watched the full episode.
Uh huh.
What about What We Do in the Shadows? You ever seen that?
Yeah, actually, I've seen a couple of episodes of that. That's pretty funny. I just haven't really had the time to get into it, but it's cleverly written, I'll say that.
A lot of the promos have, I think, amused us enough to try to get into the world of the shadows it's pretty funny.
The hardest
we part, really like it. We really, really like
well,
it.
Well, the hardest part for me was figuring out how to watch it because it's on FX on Hulu. And I get FX, so why don't I get this show? FX on Hulu. I pay for FX, and I don't get the show that says it's on FX.
They might as
because
well
because FX, the network, apparently is on Hulu, too. It doesn't make any sense to me. Is it on Hulu, or is it on FX, or is it on both, or is it on neither? Just tell me what the hell's going on. I just want to watch a TV program.
No, that should be illegal. That whole
it's on both.
It should just
I should be compensated.
Be
I should be compensated just for
confusing
all the
putting
frustration
people through that. Yeah,
it took me over a year to figure out how to see that program. Over a year.
It's not right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost control there, but
it's on our list.
It's a good show.
It's on our list.
Yeah, and if I can figure out how to do it again, I'll watch another episode.
Yeah, well,
it's on FX.
Oh, it is on FX.
It's on FX and it's on Hulu, but because it's a limited series. It's on FX now, like the season finale aired...
Right now?
Last night.
Right. But you can't start watching from the first, you know, you can't...
You can start watching it on Hulu now.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
If you have Hulu, yeah, you can do that, but you don't have Hulu, you're S out of luck.
I don't know if that table can hold you, E. You're going to have to...
I don't care anymore.
You should just
don't care.
Just, here, let me...
Just leave me alone. But there are other shows. There are other shows that are only on this FX on Hulu gizmo thing that are never on FX. I'm trying to think which one. Yeah, like Reservation Dogs. Yes, Reservation Dogs. Everybody should be able to see. That should be on broadcast TV. But you have to have Hulu to get it. And in fact, I even tweeted about this. I said this is worth getting Hulu for. And I meant it. And Hulu responded saying, yes, well said. And pretty, it's if one show makes a network worthwhile, I guess that's the one to do it.
I would love to see like a crossover like Trailer Park Boys. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Jay and Silent Bob.
Okay.
And make a big movie out of it.
Trailer Park Boys is another Canadian show that did make it down to this country, which is a good thing. And you know what else is another Canadian show, which is really funny? Gila, I think you would like this, actually. It's got your kind of humor. It's Working Moms. You ever see that? It's on Netflix now. But it's a CBC. It's a CBC show. It's just hilarious.
All right. I'll add it to my list. Thank you.
There is some cussing, though.
Oh, no.
It's a very...
It will be my first exposure to any of
but
that.
But it's
thank
over
the
over the air in Canada before 10 o'clock at night, and they have you know all kinds of cussing, and it's not a big deal. So think about that.
Sounds amazing how cussing in other countries doesn't make the world explode.
Yeah. So anything else happening in your new neck of the woods?
Not really. Other than Main Street out here has a bunch of branches all over the sidewalk, like the trees. They don't trim them.
They don't trim their trees?
Road to avoid them.
Wow.
So I'm going to go down to the hall and stand outside and like sit at the bench or something like that with a sign saying this needs to be fixed. I just go to one of their meetings and give them help.
Uh-huh.
I will say one thing, though. If anybody says anything about Snowden ever again, I'm going to kick them. I'm going to kick them straight in the ass.
I will take you up on that because, yes, I completely agree. After seeing the crap that we're going through right now with Trump, think about Reality Winner, how she was sent to prison, you know, for exposing just a couple of documents.
Every whistleblowing case.
And this guy is basically getting away with so much worse. And now we have to accept that the investigation is on pause. Just it's so wrong on so many levels. And all the right wing people who are coming after BLM people or anybody on the left saying that they want to defund the police, and they're the ones saying defund the FBI and like trying to dox them. Such hypocrites. because when things don't go their way, you know, January 6th, they were attacking cops. They don't believe what they say at all.
You remember that night? No one went to bed until there were National Guardsmen sleeping in the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
That was that day. You know, it's really, really cynical stuff.
Just you can't let them get away with it. You can't let them rewrite history. And that's what they are always trying to do, you know, trying to make it seem like there's some kind of plot or conspiracy and that they were doing the right thing all along. The evidence is right there. It's right there. Now, there's a judge that's trying to keep us from seeing it, but we've seen a lot already, you know, and we're going to see the rest of it.
Well, Trump over the weekend did one of his stupid rallies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he brought it up. They're persecuting me again. Da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on and ran about Hillary Clinton. Say, well, we need to lock her up.
Unbelievable.
So, you know, it's just nuts.
You know, it's really, you know, if you look at Fox News or the right wing on Twitter, everybody is trying to make Hunter Biden into an issue. You know, they're trying to eclipse Trump with Hunter Biden.
Chuck Grassley was saying that today on the Senate floor.
If you just look at the facts, you realize how little is actually there. The chain of evidence, Alex, you could probably speak to this, except Alex looks like a vacant chair right now. But if Alex were here, he would speak to this. There he is. That basically, the chain of evidence, or chain of possession of evidence of that laptop that supposedly has all this information on it, it's been so polluted. It's been handed around, you know, like a bag of chips. It's impossible to say who put what where. It does not compare in any sense. Plus, Hunter Biden is not somebody who's been given security clearance, unlike the Trump children. And now I'm hearing that Jared Kushner made $2 billion from the Saudis. They paid him $2 billion. Mm-hmm. And there's this top secret file about nuclear powers from certain countries that's missing.
The same Jared that couldn't get a security clearance.
It's unbelievable. So don't tell me, you know, Hunter Biden is anything compared to any of that.
Hunter Biden is the new Hillary Clinton film.
Of course, it's Benghazi over her emails. Benghazi, Hunter Biden. They just keep with the same refrain. But there's no meat. There's nothing there.
Like, it's like, well, the laptop's got probably pornographic stuff on it, stuff like that. It's like, so?
Yeah, really.
I mean, he talks about that stuff in his book. I don't know what they're planning to, like, get him on. I mean,
the thing is,
he said he did crack.
They just keep repeating it over and over again, hoping that it'll stick. And with a lot of people, that's enough. If you just keep repeating something over and over again, it's as if they had a trial and were convicted. You know, just listening to some idiot commentator on Fox, that's all you need. And it's terrible.
Well, check it out. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but an email during Discovery, since they're in the meeting cases in Discovery right now, there has been a leaked email where where Janine, whatever her name is,
Piro.
Well, the producers were talking, sending an email saying she shouldn't be saying this stuff on air. All she's doing is going to the internet and getting things, just going with every conspiracy stuff, and they shouldn't be airing it.
Okay.
So that tells you right there that Fox News is just doing it for profit.
Of course, yeah. I think they even admitted that it's just for the sake of entertainment, shouldn't be taken seriously. Of course, they know it is being taken seriously by millions of people. And it's a real, you know, I hate to say that a media outlet is a threat to democracy, but they're treading awfully close to that. They really are. They're just spreading lies. And
well, in the book 1984, the media was a tool of the government to, like, suppress people. So
it's wildly irresponsible for something that is purported to be a journalistic entity and should be protecting, I think, the institution that they aspire to be versus just their bottom line.
I think the bottom line, though, is where you attack them, because when they say horrible, irresponsible things, like who's that idiot that just got sued for saying that the kids weren't shot in Connecticut?
Alex Jones.
Yeah, Alex Jones. I'm glad I forgot his name. I'm glad I forgot Alex Jones' name. But you know, you have to go after these people in court. You have to bankrupt them. You have to, you know, basically fight back. And that's how you do it. I'm not in favor of government shutdowns. No, I'm in favor of the people fighting back and making it not worth your while to spread lies and to hurt other people.
Take the chicken wing Bannon, right out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Bannon is turning himself in tomorrow.
Who's turning himself in?
Steve Bannon.
Steve Bannon. Okay, what do you do this time?
It's over the same thing with the stupid, hey, we're going to fund it and take money and build a wall thing.
Oh, the fake wall. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a wall there if you believe there's a wall there. You know, that's where he put the money. Well,
he was pardoned, I think, for the fake electors scheme, but... by Trump.
How do these people live with
or
themselves?
Not fake. Was it fake electors scheme? Well, it was the fake wall fund.
Just to know you're being accused of such things, I just...
There's actually videotape now of the fake electors going into a... into an office where a voting machine is.
Yeah, I heard about that. They were letting people in, letting unauthorized people in or something like that. It's
yep. I mean, they just tell them themselves all the time, and I don't know why they can't get prosecuted for this crap.
Well, they can, and they will if we demand it. The thing is, there's always somebody like, you know, the judge in Trump's pocket that will be there to try and protect him. But if we cry bloody murder when that happens and make a loud fuss about these things, it'll change. That is always what changes things. So we just have to be alert and never, never give up.
I don't buy this crap about, oh, there'll be riots in the street if Trump is indicted. It's just
or if
crap,
he isn't.
Man.
Yeah, I mean...
it's been... lawsuits and everything that's been going on with Trump for so long, where's all these, you know, where's this vast military or whatever he thinks he's got behind him? I mean, the most he got was out January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And half of those people were busted in. People had to take donations and, like, had to bust them in, right? So I don't know where he's supposedly getting all this idea that the streets will run blood, run red with blood because I got indicted. It's like, he just needs to choke on the chicken wing.
Well, they're talking big. They're
wow.
They've got a lot of money, and they're trying to look a lot bigger and scarier than they are. But I don't think they have the level of righteousness that the rest of us have.
I think a lot of people are waking up and realizing this. So let's be open to that. Let's be open to people that say, wow, I was on quite a trip over the last few years, but I'm ready to come in now and resume living as a rational person. Let's not be too judgmental.
OAN lost their voice because nobody wanted to pick them up anymore.
Yeah, that's...
News has an over-the-air TV station now.
What, Newsmax does?
Yeah, because I hooked my TV up in a new place and hooked the antenna up and did scan it. There it is. It's Newsmax.
Can you tell us what station that is? Or just a channel or just something? Because it might be a subcarrier on a digital channel or something, but I didn't know that they were...
Or they're re-airing somehow?
I mean, you can do that. You can have cable networks on, say, channel 2.3, but I didn't know...
It's like a dash channel. Let's see.
You can find all kinds of interesting things if you watch over-the-air TV. It's just not the same as in the past when you could get distant signals.
You know, I don't mind. I don't... It's all rerun stuff. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish Newsy's over-the-air now, too.
Is it? Where? It's not too eager. I'm just curious.
Yeah, it was like a 68-12 or something like that here.
Okay.
It's like a sub-channel of a sub-channel.
68.12 is a pretty sub-channel.
Yeah, it's just, there's like two game networks now that's over there.
Yeah, there's game show network. I don't know why people are watching old game shows, but there's all kinds of things they don't air that would be more interesting, I think.
Yeah. Well, this has Vinny White on it. I don't know, man. I just want to wake up one day and like jump, died of a chicken.
But you see, that's not going to change the pollution that's being spread
he's
around.
He's already in the Elvis status, man. He's already in the Elvis and Tupac status. He'll never die. 100 years from now, there's going to be conspiracy theories. Well, we know where Trump is because we saw him like in a mall.
Absolutely. You know, in like some that. People's minds.
Yeah. Let's just not let it find a place in our minds. Like,
yeah. We need to put a stop to it. Oh, yeah, I joined up a little, I guess it's a counter-protest kind of thing, but it's like more like a troll thing with those Trucker Convoy guys.
Okay.
Who morphed into this thing called 1776 and were camping out on the mall in lawn chairs.
Okay.
Sleeping in their cars.
Breaking into cars?
Yeah, sleeping in their cars, no joke.
Okay, how is that part of what they stand for? I get the 1776 and the anti-vax and trucks and things like that, but breaking into cars, that's a leap.
Well, no, they're just parking their cars there and sleeping in, and they, like, wake up every few hours and put money in the meter.
Oh, they're parking their cars?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said they were breaking into cars. Okay.
Oh, no,
That just didn't seem like part of their...
They finally had to move on, but they actually had a... poop buckets. They didn't want to go into the public bathrooms and stuff.
Wait, what's wrong? I mean, there's a lot wrong with public bathrooms, but what did they say was wrong with public bathrooms?
I don't know. It's just Antifa, I guess.
What's Antifa going to do in a public bathroom?
Yeah, I know. It's just they were hanging out in front of the National Art Museum. Right, just sitting there, you know, we're fighting for your freedom. Send us PayPal money, right? Now imagine this: you've been to DC, right?
Yes, not recently, but
right across the mall from the National Air and Space Museum.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you go into the Air and Space Museum, you can touch the moon rocks, right?
You can touch them. So I didn't know you could touch them.
On one side. Wow. Yeah, there's the display where you touch them.
Wow.
You can touch moon rocks. It's pretty cool. On one side you got the moon rock and all these great things of technology and all these like things from the history of air and space. On the other side you got all these great paintings. You got the original painting of Washington going over to Delaware, all that stuff you saw in school.
Mm-hmm.
And the nose and all the nays and whatnot. And right in the middle there is a bunch of rednecks sitting on lawn chairs asking for money and pooping in a bucket.
Well, that's a part of our history now. that's going to be taught to students for decades to come.
It's crazy stuff, man. I mean, I've been participating in they call themselves BTM, Behind the Mirror. And we're just trying to poke holes in this kind of crap. You know what I mean? Just trying to expose it for what it is.
Yeah, and focus on what we want instead of this. Absolutely, because that's the kind of imagination that is worth our energy instead of figuring out why and what they're doing.
Well, now we know what rock bottom is. We can just point our finger and say, that's rock bottom. We want something better than that. And take it from there.
They were just drunk karaoke at night to raise money on the mall.
Well,
and riding around on these e-scooters, because they were quote-unquote security.
Now, this was, is this still happening, or is this from the past?
It's sort of still happening. Look up Convoy Santa on YouTube. Look up Meanwhile and Convoy, or Meanwhile and 1776 Restoration Movement.
I doubt I'd want to see that, but...
No, you got to see it, man. They actually got in a fight with each other over who was holding their hand over their heart when they were saying the Pledge of Allegiance one day.
Well, couldn't they both have been?
No, because they were fighting over it. It's like, as you can see here, that guy over there is not holding his heart. hold his hand over his heart when he's saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, some people's hearts are actually in different parts of their body. I mean, some are more to the left, some are more to the right. So you'd have to do a thorough exam to know for sure.
They're pretty much getting in fights like it's in front of joggers and stuff on the mall.
Wow.
I mean, can you just imagine going down there one day with your kids or something like that and it's like, we're going to the Natural History Museum. And then you hear all these rednecks down there just like blaring a bunch of stuff. And you go down there and you smell poop.
Well, it's a good smell to associate with them, I think. But let me just ask you this question. Now that you're in Virginia, can you get to D.C. fairly easily?
Not like I could before. The nearest bus stop for Megabus is like an hour away.
Okay.
But I think I can get my brother to drop me off, my other brother to drop me off and take the Megabus out there.
Uh-huh.
Megabus is pretty sweet. I can get tickets for like $1 going up there and back.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Wow. So now you just need a micro bus to take you to the mega bus so that you can, you know, just go door to door. And then
yeah,
you could,
we have a, Marion does have like a free transit bus.
Uh-huh.
That, I've been riding around and, you know, go get my stuff since I can't drive anymore.
Okay.
Like wash my clothes and junk like that. I had to give up my washer and dryer and stuff. They kind of dragged me out of my place because they said they didn't want me get sick like my brother did and me be stuck out there, which I understand, but you know, I out here there's nothing, man. I can't go to the theater, I can't do anything. I go on Grubhub and there's like two restaurants.
Uh-huh. Well, there's
pretty low rent.
There's other places. Maybe you could migrate to another place in Virginia.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But hopefully I can make it to D.C. again. I'll do a college job there so I can make fun of them a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but, it's good to go into town and just, you know, sit in on Congress or just see other things that are going on.
Oh, yeah.
It's very accessible.
I've been to the White House before, and I've been to the Capitol before. And that's what kills me about these guys. Like, you know, you can go get a tour of the White House with a self-paced tour and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a self-tour. You could go to the Capitol and you could take a tour of everything.
That's
actually
true.
You could actually probably just go up to the office and knock on their door.
We went, Kyle and I went to one of the Benghazi hearings with Hillary Clinton, you know, the one where she was there for like 8 hours. In fact, we took an Amtrak down there and then we sat in for an hour or two and then we went back up to New York and we were on the LIRR after Amtrak and she was still in front of that committee at that point. That's how long that hearing was, but it was so amazing that we could just go down there, be a part of it. We were in the hallways, congressmen were walking by, you know, back and forth.
Yeah,
and it was very, you know, once you're through the metal detector, you can go anywhere you want pretty much. And, you're treated like a real person, not like a security risk.
I definitely want to go to the gallery, be in the gallery one day.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to be in the gallery.
Yeah.
Yet.
I've never done that. That would be kind of cool.
Like heckle like Lindsey Graham or somebody. You're the fool. I'm sorry. Are we on radio?
We're not on the radio, but still we prefer.
Oh, thank God. That's the day for it. Me too.
But we are going to go because it's after 9 o'clock now. And
any other thoughts?
Any other concluding thoughts?
Oh, no. We hate to rush you out, but.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm glad talking to you guys again, man. I kind of missed the crazy conversations we've had and, you know, it keeps me happy. It keeps me engaged in life, you know. It's real easy just to...
Yeah, stay engaged because that definitely is the key to everything. And look forward to more conversations in the future because we'll be around for sure. And, you know, you sound like you landed on your feet, so that's a good thing. And it'll get better.
Yeah, I got a new recliner coming in.
Cool.
It's got heat on it and like a vibrating stuff on it. So my back and legs hurt.
Uh-huh.
Like, chilling.
That's the American dream right there.
I know, just sitting there, just watching something on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Get me a beer.
Keep exploring the digital TV channels because you find all kinds of interesting things when you do that.
Well, there is like a button that you can slide up and down on the antenna, and I'm not sure if that's with strength or not. So I'm going to toy around with that. I've been toying around with ASDB, it tracks airplanes, all right?
Oh.
So I got a little Raspberry Pi hooked up, and I've been tracking airplanes just for fun. And I'm trying to get, I want to get an L-band antenna, because if you have an L-band antenna, you can, like, point it north or something like that, and you can try to download, like, images from NOAA satellites and stuff like that.
All right.
Also, I've been seeing some YouTube stuff where people have actually been, like, using those satellites, like, bouncing stuff off, like, the drug cartels and stuff like that, and you can actually listen into them.
Oh, wow.
So I'm about doing that, and I got my FM transmitter out of storage. It's here. I just got to get, like, something, hook it up. It only goes out 300 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about getting an antenna that does 5.2 miles.
Okay.
But I don't know if I can legally do that.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
I know. But I got, have you heard the sound of the black hole sound?
There was, I heard a clip of it, briefly.
Yes, it sounds just like demons, right?
It's a recreation. Yeah, it's like a
well, here's my plan. If I go to jail for it and get in the news, you know what happens. Here's my plan. I got my transmitter, right?
Uh-huh.
And I can get that antenna, right? It's only $80. No shit's been in here.
Okay.
And it goes out 5 miles, and I'm just going to, like, pick that sound. I'm going to record a bunch of crazy stuff, like, Trump is your king, and... And, like, the saints have left, all the Christians have left, you're left behind, and Trump is the son of Satan and stuff like that. And let it run for, like, half an hour or something like that.
That sounds like fun.
Just long enough for people to hear it.
That sounds like fun. You know, it reminds me of what some of the things we used to do back in, I guess this was the 90s, where we'd have an FM, a little FM transmitter. You know, it fits in your pocket. And it's only enough to transmit in a room. Won't go further than that. And you could tune it to various stations. So if you're walking into, say, a drugstore, and you know they're listening to a particular radio station, you tune it to that frequency. And so we replaced the easy listening with, you know, hard rap with all kinds of language. And literally people were running down the hall, the aisles saying, "Oh, my God, you would think there was a tidal wave coming."
here's the question, right? Say if I was like beside the prank stuff, like just go like in 87 point whatever, something that's open, right?
Right.
Would you guys mind if I like took the podcast version of the show and just like play it over the air?
We have no objection to anyone doing anything like that. Keep in mind, though, you know, you used a word before that would not be allowed over broadcast radio, but that's on. Well, first of all, you're also broadcasting illegally, so then you got two counts against you right there. But you know, we don't care.
Oh, yeah.
We don't care if you want to do that. It's on you.
Yeah, if you'd like to use this material in psychological warfare, please, we encourage that.
The FCC does allow you to have a personal FM transmitter.
Okay.
It can't overlap already established channels, right? And at least in theory.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember how far it can go out.
Well, the other thing...
I figured if I could start my own little radio station, you know, just a little something that isn't better than country music or like oldies.
I'm not gonna say yes or no to this, but I will say that in the area... Somewhere in the area, for years, and I'm talking 5+ years, there was a pirate radio station in the middle of the commercial part of the FM band. And that's like, you know, 102, 103 in there. It was broadcasting, and you could hear it for around 10 miles, broadcasting all kinds of popular music. And it stayed on the air for over 5 years, 24 hours a day. And the reason it did was because nobody complained. It's only when someone complains that the FCC takes an interest. So, yeah, a pirate station can exist 24 hours playing commercial music in the commercial part of the FM band. And if nobody takes the initiative to complain, it'll keep broadcasting. So that's all I'm going to say on that subject.
Yeah, but I want to expand more than just music, man. I want to, like I could do this with Shoutcast, no problem.
Well, when you start saying ideas and controversial things, that's when people start taking... I mean, people have complained about us... on BAI, a legitimate station, a legitimate signal, legitimate show, because they don't like what we say. So, yeah, when you start saying things, then you get more enemies.
You might make friends.
Friends, too.
I mean, I'm going to take my dog and a poster board and just hang outside the courthouse and run in City Hall and complain about the cleaning up the sidewalks around here and why we have to travel 30, 40 miles to watch a movie in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have talking crosswalks either. So here I am, like, you know, legally blind. I just don't want to get hit by a car, guys. That's it. I mean, I just want to be able to get to where I need to go without worrying about having to die because there's branches hit me in the face and I have to avoid them, and and I can't tell when it's safe to cross the street.
Is there
it's not asking much.
Is there a local newspaper where you are?
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's a local newspaper for your town, for your community?
Yeah.
Okay, write to them. Write a letter. Start getting people thinking about these concerns of yours, and then find out who represents you, both on the national, state, and county level. Contact them. Many times they'll be responsive because so few people do contact them.
Because, you know, it's kind of dumb. I mean, it's the town's obligation to make sure that the sidewalks are passable, right?
Mm-hmm. But you got to speak up, though. Otherwise, they're not going to do anything on their own. If you start lobbying, you'll become a voice, and you'll actually start getting power, and people will listen to you.
I'm going to run this town.
You'll be running the town before you know it.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to run for town, and then I'm going to run for Senate.
Why not?
And both me and 2024 for president.
Well, president maybe, but we can't vote for you for representative because we
have there. Hey, Trump can do it, I can do it.
Well, yeah, hold on to that thought. Yeah, that's a good way to end. But listen, great hearing from you again. Best of luck for everything, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Okay, man.
All right, be well.
Have fun, right?
All right, take care.
You too.
Wow, good call, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so saddened to hear about his brother and his dog, though.
Yeah, it is something.
Yeah. So, you know, our sincere condolences and glad to hear from him again.
Yeah, but he's a fighter, and that's what we like. We like people who fight back and speak out when something's wrong.
That's true.
We all like to do that. Well, we don't like to do that. We all feel we have to do that, and it's good when it works. And it works when you speak up. It doesn't work when you don't say anything.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't make sense, you'll eventually, you know, people will listen. They'll try to figure out what you're pointing at, what you're shining light on and calling attention to.
Well, we're past the point of making sense because we've been on overtime for over an hour and a half now. So it's time we wrap things up. Again, we're not on next week. I don't know if I said it. We were on next week on the radio show, but we are not. We're preempted yet again. That's fine. We have other things to do.
Please write us letters.
Yes, oth@2600.com. That's our email address.
Tell us about stories or things that were hacked or that you hacked and that you think we could talk about and that might be interesting or that you have a question about or would like our opinion on.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we read those letters over the air. Any final words from out there in Skype land?
Stay safe out there.
Yeah, I guess, right? We'll see you in 2 weeks. This has been a nice marathon session over time, and hope everybody stays safe. Has a great night.
Mm-hmm. Best wishes, warmest regards.
Oh, that's nice. Good night, everybody.